This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. He joins me live in studio. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
And you're not a doctor? Last time we checked, you're not a... I called you Dr. John Whitehead a minute ago.
I do practice holistic health, folks, so I give a few remedies.
In the back room at the Rutherford Institute,
right.
Yeah. We were talking with John Kabat-Zinn. You actually participate in mindfulness meditation. You've taken those courses.
Yeah, I have a course tonight, yeah, on it. It's very interesting. It's a way to move out of the hecticness of the world and focus on the moment. It's not easy. It takes a lot of practice, but, you know, I would recommend it. It's Susan Stone teaches the class at the University of Virginia, so
yeah.
It's high class, well done. And you read John Kabat-Zinn's book, and it's got a nice workbook, and you focus on different problems. And so I think it's a very good thing.
Good deal. So speaking of another very good thing is this pamphlet here, Do You Know Your Bill of Rights, which is available. You brought in a few that we can give to listeners, to the first few callers at 977-1070. They can get a copy of this new pamphlet from the Rutherford Institute.
And I think it's important. It's a neat little pamphlet. It's got pictures in it. It's kid-friendly. It's adult-friendly. Since most Americans do not have any idea what's in the Bill of Rights, it's a great thing to teach. I speak to lawyer groups. 150 lawyers in a room. I asked them to give me the five freedoms in the First Amendment. I have yet to find one lawyer who can. The lawyers do not know it. So it's very important. Teach it to your kids. It's free, folks. Use it.
977-1070. If you want one, give me a call. 977-1070. Ask for the Rutherford Institute pamphlet on the Bill of Rights. And it's yours free right now at 977-1070. John, earlier today we were talking about Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli's letters that he advised public colleges and universities in Virginia that they were not allowed to include gays and lesbians on a list of those whom will not be discriminated against by said university. And he said that only the General Assembly can decide who will or will not be discriminated against. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a debatable issue as far as whether or not the Commonwealth of Virginia, the legislature, can create a new protected class of citizens, and that's what he's arguing. If a university decided to do that, the question would be, what would the attorney general do? Would he move toward a university? Would he have standing to do it, legal standing? My question in this issue would be, what ought we to do? It's not what's the law. I mean, should the Virginia legislature protect gay individuals and groups from discrimination? My answer would be yes. We live in the United States. We claim to be the country that goes around the world and occupies countries to make them more democratic, that we believe in freedom. And so I think, yeah, there's an ought here. It's what ought we to do? And if we want Virginia to be seen as a state that believes in really in freedom, the home of Thomas Jefferson, we live in Charlottesville, Virginia, James Madison, George Washington, you go down the line.
Yeah.
All the people who wrote the all men are created equal. That's what Thomas Jefferson says in the Declaration of Independence. That's our founding document. Whether or not Virginia protects it, there's a real question whether anything outside that, whether the Constitution, whether the Supreme Court cases, those are all debatable issues. There is a law presently in the House of Representatives that has been proposed. It's called the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA. It does protect, it proposes to protect gay individuals. And
so that would be a federal statute then.
The
gays and lesbians would instantly be on all the lists with religion and gender.
There's a good chance that it'll, depending on the current uprising against President Obama by the Republicans and whatever, whether that'll get out of the House, if it gets into the Senate, we don't know what would happen to it. But there is a federal law being proposed. I think that the long-term answer, and I've been asked this, is that eventually, you know, Virginia is one of a handful of states, 20-some states now, that don't recognize gay and lesbians, so gay men and lesbians. I think that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
So should Virginia be the tail on the dog or the head on the dog is the question. And so
Because right now, it's legal in Virginia if you're an employer and you want to fire somebody for no reason other than the fact that he's gay or she's a lesbian, you're perfectly allowed to do so.
Yeah, they the new governor has removed that from the executive order of the two prior.
They cannot then go to the courts and say, I was doing my job wonderfully. They only fired me because I'm gay. And the courts in Virginia would say, okay, too bad. You're allowed to do that in this state.
And it's again, it's a very, very important social issue. We live in a country that, again, I go back and say, advocates very strongly that freedom is the issue. Now, the law in the Congress that's being proposed, in our federal law, would protect religious groups. And I mean, religious groups that object to this kind of behavior should be protected, yes. Again, they have to be able to protect their practice their religion. And, you know, there's, you know, so the federal law wouldn't apply to organizations that have 15 or less employees. So little small employers would be exempted. So it's if you want a law that's going to have a lot of exemptions, that's it. But I think the general principle is the ought principle. What ought we to do in this country?
Yeah.
How should we live? And I'm for maximum freedom because as people who know me and you know me, Coy, and all, what I've been fighting with over the years is we want maximum freedom because we're losing our freedoms. And even, unfortunately, under President Obama, which you know got a lot of people on the left are very upset with President Obama and his civil liberties record so far. So we're fighting tooth and nail to keep our freedoms alive. Yeah. Why would we want to discriminate against any class of individuals?
It wasn't too long ago that a white woman was legally not allowed to marry a black man in Virginia. I mean, that was only, 1967, I think, the loving couple. And It's just amazing. But once upon a time, not too long ago, that was not legal in Virginia.
Yeah. I fight the death penalty in the state. I mean, Virginia is one of those states that appears, if you're outside the state, to be very harsh.
Yeah.
Now, here's another thing. Do Virginians want to be first in freedom or last in freedom? That's the real issue, I think, here. Eventually, it's going to occur.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. John, let me ask you about the American Community Survey. What is this? And because the little that I found out about it by reading your commentary, it's quite upsetting.
Yes. Right now the census is being conducted across the country. It's essentially 10 questions, and some people feel those are intrusive. I mean, we get daily emails from people saying they don't want to fill out the census form. It's much less intrusive, 10 questions. There used to be a long form. Now the American Community Survey has taken over the long form, but it's much longer form. It's 28 pages, and it comes with a 16-page information packet. So you have to study it and be very careful and go through it. It's not voluntary. For every question you don't answer, it's a $100 fine.
That's the part that gets me.
Wait, for every intentionally false response to a question, the fine is $500. If you are a person representing a two-person household and you just refuse to fill out any of the questions or answer nonsensically and stupidly and say, I'm an American, I can do whatever I want to do, the total fines can range from upwards of $10,000 to $50,000. And this has actually been upheld, these fines, in a court of law. So there's a court has ruled. You can.
I don't understand what statute exists to make this enforceable. I mean, is it a special census law that
empowers?
It's just set out
in the census law. You know, the Secretary of Commerce, who oversees this, has said they don't know how they can enforce this. They're not an enforcing agency. So the question, who would enforce this? But the questions that bother people, it has how many persons live in your home, along with their names and detailed information about them, such as their relationship to you, their marital status, their race, their physical, mental, and emotional problems. Do you want your neighbors knowing what, say, your wife or your children have emotional problems? Do you want anybody knowing that?
Because this becomes public information.
The survey also how many bedrooms, bathrooms you have in your home, with the kind of fuel you use to heat your home, the cost of your electricity, what type of mortgage you have, the amount of your monthly mortgage payments, property taxes, and so on and so on. These are just a few of the questions. It also requires you to give detailed information on how many days you were sick last year, how many automobiles you own, whether you have trouble getting up the stairs, and amazingly, this is troublesome, what time you leave for work every morning and how long it takes you to get there. The problem with that last question is under the Patriot Act and some of our onerous laws that have been passed since 9/11, the government can come in your home when you leave and search your home and leave without a search warrant. Do you really want anybody knowing when you leave and how long it takes to get there? Okay, in case you have to turn back. And so it's all kinds of financial intrusive questions that I've gotten probably 1,000 emails on this.
Have you really? And this is sent out randomly, right?
It's sent out randomly, yeah.
Well, so they say randomly.
It's every year, it just keeps filtering out. The thing is, they want detailed financial information. If, for example, you make a mistake on this form and it doesn't, and they match it to you, and they probably will match it to what you report on your IRS forms, you could get audited by just making a mistake. So you have to really be careful if you decide to fill this form out and make sure that what you're doing is proper. Now, the question is, what about the people who wrote the Constitution when they set up the idea of a census? What idea did they have? It was a head count for redistricting and making sure that the country was reapportioned correctly.
It wasn't
voting.
This type
that
of
was
research,
it.
Yeah.
And so now we've got all this information being collected, and a lot of people just don't want to fill it out. They're a little nervous. They're asking questions like, why is the government asking me these questions? And then they get hounded with all these phone calls when they lag on them. They get agents
calling. You mean the government calls you and says, where's the survey?
People have contacted us. I quote a lady. If you go to our website at Rutherford.org, you can read it. It's called Big Brother Wants to Know All About You. People call, you see all the responses on our website, but people are saying they're calling their neighbors and trying to collect the information too. I mean, it's really strange that we have a government that wants to know about you, and you say, well, maybe I don't want to tell you this particular thing, and they go ask your neighbors. So, again, we're looking for a constitutional case. I do think it's unconstitutional. And we have a couple potential clients, and we may end up suing over it, making a test case to see. And I'm not against the census. If I get the census form, I fill it out and send it
back. Yeah, I was going to say, as a historian, census records are gold. I mean, I love looking at old census records because it tells you who lived where.
This is not a census.
But this is very different.
This is information gathering, yeah.
Yeah.
28 pages of detailed information.
My goodness. And do we know anybody in this area that may have gotten one?
No, I haven't had anybody in Charlottesville, but all over the country, from California to Texas. I mean, we've gotten so much, the response from this. And the reason I wrote this is I started getting these emails, and people were going, I'm getting this awful form.
Yeah.
So we researched it and printed it out, and I read through it and said, I wouldn't answer that. I wouldn't tell the government when I leave home how long it takes me to get there. Is that really any of their business, knowing when I leave home?
Absolutely not.
I mean, why would they want to know that? That's the question.
Yeah. That's really startling. And what really gets me is that then they say that, you know, you're going to be charged thousands of dollars if you don't fill it out.
Yeah, and
I say
a court has actually upheld it could be up to $50,000. Yeah, of course.
Oh,
a federal
gosh.
Court in Texas actually has said that.
God.
This is for not filling out a form that some bureaucrat somewhere wrote, probably on a day when he or she had too many beers for lunch. Or something else to smoke.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. Where should we go next? You spoke recently, you write to a group of affluent upper-middle-class retirees in your commentary, Raising Hell.
Yeah. Well, what I'm finding is when I speak to groups, for years I've been writing about Americans and how little they know of current events, for one thing, how little they know of their government, and how little they know of their rights. And I'm just shocked. And again, we live in a great town, Charlottesville, with Rhodes Scholars and educated folks. But I find when I speak to groups, I'm just startled that what I learned in civics in grade school, most Americans today have no clue what you're talking about. They just don't know. The tests show that most Americans don't know that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. And these are people with bachelor's degrees and master's degrees, lawyers. I recently spoke to 150 of the cream of the cream of lawyers in a town. And I, in the middle of the speech, I was talking about civil liberties. I said, by the way, and I held up my little pamphlet that we offer here. I said, can any lawyer in this room give me the five freedoms of the First Amendment? Not one could give me. They were arguing, debating each other in the room. Like, what are they? These are lawyers. So we're in a huge gap. So I find when I go to speak to groups, I sound like this radical. And all I'm doing is, I, and again, I find today when I use the Jefferson's Declaration of Independence and use the principles out of it, people think, are you a communist? I mean, I get, where are you coming up with this stuff? And I say, well, it's in the founding document written by Thomas Jefferson, some middle-class guy, you know, who built a home on a mountain called Monticello.
Right.
But, you know, I think that if we really love our country, we're going to have to start learning, you know, not only learning ourselves what our rights are, learning our history. That's the first step. It's nice to have groups that get together and chit-chat and all that, but we need to get down to City Hall and get involved and, you know, I mean, get carry signs, picket, dissent. I mean, Jefferson said it, dissent's at the heart of our liberties. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
I love that sign people carry in protest. This is what democracy looks like.
Exactly.
You know, whether I agree with them or not, I love that sign.
Again, Martin Luther King is my hero, and I've read his writing, and I find that, again, most people that I work with, young college students, older adults, when I say Martin Luther King said this, they're shocked. They've never heard any, they've never read Letters from a Birmingham Jail, his letter from a Birmingham Jail. They don't have never read the Freedom Writings of Martin Luther King, and they've been through our schools. What are we teaching in the school today?
Yeah.
So, do we want a free country? I think if we want a free country, we're going to have to start. And I think it's called raising hell. I mean, I say raising hell. Is that what patriots do? I mean, I thought that's what the great men, Gandhi, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, you know, that's what he did. Mandela, all the great men of history. Thomas Jefferson, the founding fathers.
They were revolutionaries. We often forget that.
Yeah. The British called them terrorists, you know, and all they wanted the British to do was to go home. Go home. Go back to England.
But you're right. They were terrorists. These were domestic terrorists that threatened.
That's why the British executed them. The Third Amendment's against quartering soldiers' home. They would come in people's homes and take them over. You know, they would burn churches. The British, because that's where a lot of patriots met. So. What I'm finding is even upper middle class, affluent people with college degrees don't know any more than guys out in the street, people out on the street. I'm just shocked. I mean, it just dawned on me. I thought, I'm a radical. And, you know, again, why am I, you know, and they perceive me as a radical. I walk out of the room feeling bad. Jeez.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is saying the First Amendment says you have a right to protest, you know. No. The thing about the First Amendment is it's a duty to protest when you think your government's doing bad. People complain about President Obama now. Well, do something about it. People complain about their taxes at City Hall. Go do something about it. Don't tell me. If you get arrested, Ruff Institute will defend you. If you're illegally picketing, we'll fight your case in court. So that's what we exist for. So I encourage people to get out.
So get out there and raise some hell.
That's it. Why not?
John Whitehead, he's the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. Check him out online at rutherford.org, where you can read all his recent commentaries and see online video as well. Thank you, John.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.